Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Zayin. You might notice a house shape around Omar Rova. On the side, in the margin, we take a look at one of the special features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. You see a house shape under the Nosei, which is the topic heading / Mivneh. We've written Dinim. The Mivneh, by the way, is the structural note. These are Dinim, Shel Rova, the laws taught by Rova, Benosei Shel She'elo Bebailim. Concerning the topic that we've been dealing with in the last few dapim, the issue of borrowing an item from someone who is in your service as well. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with our recent shiurman. You remember that in such a case that the owner of the item comes along with the item being borrowed to be in service of the shoel of the borrower. If a mishap befalls the borrowed item, the borrower is exempt. Now the Gemara. Omar Rava, Haiman deboy lemishal midi mechavrei. One who is interested in borrowing an item from his friend, veliftar, and to also enjoy exemption if something befalls it, nemo le. Let the borrower say to the owner, Ashkin Maya, bring me something to drink. Maya is literally water. Bring me a glass of water. Dahave Sheilu Bavailim. If the owner, before giving you the item, or when giving you the item, also brings along a drink for you, the borrower, that establishes a borrowing with the owner. And if an onus results, which ordinarily would obligate the shoel, the borrower, to compensate, not so in this case, because the owner came along with the item and was in the borrower's service. However, v'ipikeahu, if the owner is a sharp individual, is smart, and he realizes what you're up to, Neymar lay, the owner of the item would say to the borrower, Shoyil Bereshir, first borrow the item, Father Ashkich, and then I'll bring you something to drink. So that the owner, technically speaking, is not in your service at the time you borrowed. You borrowed, and then he brought you something to drink. Omar Rava, another din of Rava. We have a list of people, services, or professionals. Makri Dardiki, an instructor of children. Makri is one who teaches Torah, Chumash, Dardiki, or children. So he's an elementary school teacher of Torah for children. Shasla, he's a person that plants vineyards, and he and the owner split the profits. Tabcha, someone who slaughters animals. The Umna is a bloodletter, the Gemara form of a doctor, and Saper Masa. Saper is one who provides haircuts. Masa is the town's barber. So these five people, Kuhon, all of them, Be'idon Aviditayu, when they're performing their services, if after they started their services, someone comes along and borrows an item from them, kishe'elo b'baylim domu, the result would be that it's you now have a din of sheva b'baylam, of borrowing with the owner, one of these five different professionals in your service. If a mishap befalls the item, the borrower will be exempt. And now we go on with another incident involving Rava and Rava and his students. Omru le Rabbonan le Rava. The Rabbonan, the rabbis, or those who learned, Rashi says, B'nai Beis Midrasha, the members of his yeshiva, of Rava's yeshiva, they said to Rava, Sho'il lon mar, you are in our service. Rashi says, Sho'il lon mar, Rabbeinu nish'al lanu, our master is actually in service to us, Limlachtenu lilmod lanu Torah, to teach us Torah, Shiyoshevum lamed lanu Torah. Note, Rashi says, Kol hayom, that he was in the position of teaching Torah. They would learn Torah from the rabbi, from the teacher, all day. V'im nish'al mimenu behemo meso niftar. And if we were to borrow something, an animal, from Rava, the teacher, and the animal would die, we would be exempt. Ikpid, Rava became upset. Omar Lahu, he reacted to them and said, Lafkui mamonoi, Kaboisu, are you trying to undo possession, my possession of my money, of my possessions? Adiraba, to the contrary, Atun she'iltun li, you are in my service. You know, he says to the students that you students are actually serving me. Rashi says, Atun shiltuni limalachti, for my work. She kishani chofetz lahasum asechachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachach another tractate. And why would I want to switch to another tractate? Because I'm afraid that I will forget that other tractate. You cannot protest. In other words, I call the shots, and your studying with me enables me, you're serving me in the capacity of helping me to not forget my Torah learning. So the students, as far as Rav is concerned, are in his service, helping him to preserve his Torah learning. And now the Gemara goes on explaining what we saw alluded to in Rashi. De'ilu ano motzi ishtamuti luchu mi masechta lemasechta. I can switch from one tractate to another. Atu lo motzisu lishtamuti, and you cannot decide which tractate we should start anew. And as we saw in Rashi, all of this was a description how Rava perceived the students as being in his service. So we have here two points of view, the way the students view Rava and the way Rava views the students. Velohi, and the Gemara itself says it's not quite as absolute as they made it out to sound. It depends. It depends if it's their study together during the days of the year, or during their study together at the period preceding a holiday. The period preceding a holiday was called Yemei Kala, and it was characterized by the study of those laws pertaining to the holiday. And those laws during that time period were had priority as far as their study, and hence the Gemara says, "Ihu sho'il lehu b'yoyim adekala." He, Rava, is serving them during the yoyim adekala, those days, the period of time preceding a holiday. He cannot veer off that track. He must teach them the laws of the holidays. Inhu shi'ilulei b'shar yomi. And during the rest of the year, they in fact are are in service of him. They are she'ilu lei, just like, and therefore, if Rava were to borrow an item of theirs, being that they are in the service of Rava, if some mishap would befall that item while Rava is using it, he would be exempt. Mreimar bar Chanina, oiger kudnaisa bechozoi. Mreimar rented mules to people in Bechozoi. It's the name of a place. Nofak Lugluye Tuna Badayu. Mreimar, and do note, by the way, that this is the, we'll call it the Aleph version. On this last narrow line of the Gemara, there's a Beis version. So the first version of this story is that Mreimar, the owner of the animal, went to Lidluya Tunas to raise the tuna, the burdens, together with the renters, loading up those animals that they rented from him. Poshu ba, there was an act of recklessness with regard to their treating of the animal. Umis, and the animal died. Osu lekamei de Rava, and the case came to Rava Chayvinu, and he ruled that they must compensate Mreimar. Omer le Rabbanan le Rava, what do you mean? Why should we compensate? Pshia bebailim hu. It was an example of recklessness. However, when the owner, that is Mreimar, was in our service, he was helping us at that time. So, with that revelation, Rava became embarrassed. Ichsif. Ichsif means he was embarrassed. He was taken aback. He ruled that they are obligated to compensate, but they told him the owner was in our service, was helping us at the time of our acquisition of the animal. Lesof igloi milsa, it then became revealed that Rava wasn't actually in that Mreimar wasn't actually in their service, but rather de la mesar tuuna hu denofak. Mesar is to look, to gaze upon, to look at what they were doing. That's what he went out to see at that time. But he wasn't in actual service. Rava, though, initially experienced a sense of embarrassment. Was there really grounds for him to feel that way? Ha nicha leman d'omar pshia b'baylen poter mishom hachi ichsif. This point was the subject of disagreement earlier in our Masechta, the issue of recklessness as opposed to an onus or something else that befalls the animal. Here we're dealing with recklessness. Does that, when it's bebailim, gain exemption? So if you say yes, then we understand why Rava felt a sense of embarrassment in his ruling of pay, of obligation. El al aman diomar chayov amay ichsif. There is another opinion that says pshia bebaylem doesn't, pshia, recklessness, does not enjoy the exemption of bebaylem. So what? Mreimar may have been with them, but the animal's death was a result of pshia, of recklessness. They would have been obligated anyway. So why, when Rava ruled that way, and later they told him that he, the owner, was with us, why should he have felt embarrassed? So the Gemara, let's read that again. Elolaman diomar chayav amay ichsif. Why was Rava embarrassed? He ruled correctly at the outset. The Gemara responds that the facts were different. Lo mifsha poshuba, they did not behave recklessly with the animal. Ella ignuvi ignuv, the animal was actually stolen. Umesa kedarka beganav have, and the animal died in a normal fashion in the possession of the thief. The osu lekame de Rava vechayvinu, and they came to Rava and they obligated them to compensate. Amrule rabbanan le Rava. And the rabbis told Rava, Geneva Babailim, why are you obligating them to compensate Mreimar when it's a case of theft while Mreimar was in their service? So it's a case of geneva bebailim, theft at the time that the owner was in their service. They should be exempt. Rashi says geneva bebailim, geneva zu sha'ata mechayvoi bebailim hi. Schiruso b'shas schirus kishenichneso lirushuso v'tani le'el hoyo imo b'shas shelo ein tzorech lios imo b'shas shvura mesa. The geneva that you're holding them responsible for is a geneva that involved the theft of an animal that they rented, but at the time that they were renting the animal, the owner was in their service. And as Rashi reminds us, the rule is that as long as the owner is in service at the initial point of acquisition, he need not be in service at the time of the animal's disappearance or the animal's death. So upon hearing this, Ichsif, we go back to the Gemara, he, Rava, became embarrassed that he ruled incorrectly. L'self igloi milso, at the end it became revealed, d'lemesar tunahu d'nafak. Remar didn't go to help them to be in their service, but rather he went out to oversee, to make sure that they weren't overloading his animal. So you don't have a case of bebailim at all, and therefore Rova's ruling was correct that they must compensate. The Mishnah. I probably should have pointed out at the opening of today's shiur that it is likely that we're going to spill over, continue onto Daf Tzadi Ches, as you will see that the nature of the Gemara is one that you have to continue the topic, even though we're spilling over in terms of the Daf Yomi structure of these recordings. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, we indicate Tvios, these we will see claims, Uvehatguvos, and the responses, Shel Hamashil Vahashoyel, regarding the owner and the borrower, as will become clear. The Mishnah, Hashoyel Es Haporo, someone is borrowing a cow. Shoalo chatziyom, he borrowed it for half a day. V'sochro chatziyom, and for half of the day he also rented it. Another scenario, shoalo hayom v'sochro lemochor, he borrowed it today and rented it tomorrow. Sochar achas v'shoal achas. Here we have two cows, one he rented and one he borrowed. Umesa, and the cow died. So we have three scenarios, and as we go on in the Mishnah, then we will see a numbering scheme that continues that corresponds to the numbers that we've already placed in the Mishnah. So we have an animal that died, and we have an owner and a borrower. Hamashil Omer, the owner, the one who lent out the animal, claims, regarding issue 3, where there were two animals, the owner says, Sheula Mesa. One of the two died. It was the borrowed animal that died. As I'm sure you are well aware, a borrower has to compensate for the case of Ones, where the mishap that befell the animal was, even if it was beyond his control, he still is obligated. That would not be the case if it was a rented animal. A renter, a socher, is exempt from compensating for Ones. So the owner claims it was the borrowed animal that died. Regarding scenario number 2, the owner would claim, B'yoyim shohoysa sh'ula mesa. On the day that was one animal, it seems to be one animal in case 2, however, that one animal was in service of the customer on 2 days, one day in a borrowing capacity and one day as a rental animal. So the owner claims its death was on the day that you borrowed it. And regarding case one, where the events transpired only on one day, the owner would claim b'sha'ah shehoisa shulameisa, died at the hour that you were borrowing it. If you recall, in case one, the customer borrowed it for half a day and rented it for half a day, and the animal was discovered to have died. The owner, in that case, would be claiming that it died during the hours that you were borrowing it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to get any compensation. We continue with now the claims of the customer. I use the word customer because he's either a borrower or a renter, so we refer to him as the customer. V'halo, notice we're continuing at the top line of Omid Beis. At the end of the top line, V'halo Omer, the borrower, the customer says, Eini Yodea, if he would claim, in face of the claims of the owner, if he responds, you know, I don't know, Chayav, he has to compensate. You have a situation where the owner is issuing a claim from a position of certainty. We call that bori. The customer responds with a sense of doubt, and we call that shemo. So if you have one party issuing a claim of with certainty and the other responding with doubt, so the customer has to compensate. Hasocher Omer, there's an alternative. The customer says, and here we're referring to him as Socher because he's going to try to issue claims of exemption. And in the case of the animal's death, he won't be exempt other than if he if the event took place in his capacity, in the customer's capacity as a renter. So the Mishnah refers to him as that, the Socher Omer. Regarding scenario three, Schura Mesa, the animal that died was the rented animal, not the borrowed animal. And regarding scenario two, he says, Biyom Shoisa Schura Mesa. It was only one animal in that case, but the customer says it was on the day that I was renting it that it died. And vis-a-vis case number one, Bisha Shoisa Schura Mesa, the customer says it died during the hours of the day that I was renting it, and hence I am exempt. V'halo Omer, and now what does the owner respond to that? Eini Yodea. If he responds, I don't know, Potter, so the customer will be exempt. You'll notice, of course, that this is part of Roman numeral number two, whereas in under Roman numeral number one, the owner was issuing a claim of certainty. Here, the owner is responding with a sense of doubt. Now we go to Roman numeral number three, the interplay between owner and customer. Ze Omer Shula, the owner claims that it was in the capacity of borrowing that the animal died. Ze Omer Schura, and the customer says it was in the capacity of rental that it died. You have two parties both taking positions of certainty. How do we resolve this kind of controversy? Yishava hasocher sheschura mesa. The customer, the renter who would otherwise have to pay, in order to gain exemption, he has the option, he has the right to swear. Swearing, in general, we'll say from a Torah perspective, without getting involved with rabbinic law, but from the Torah perspective, an oath is imposed on the party that would otherwise have to pay. We call that shvua liftor. He swears in order to gain exemption. That's how the Torah envisions swearing. There is much discussion concerning the points of this Mishnah that we'll see later in the Gemara, though. Scenario 4, Ze Omer Eini Yodea, Ze Omer Eini Yodea. Owner says, I don't know, I'm not sure. Was it borrowed or rented when it died? And the customer likewise says, I also don't know. Yachloku. Rashi says, Kosovar Maman Amuta Basofik Chokim. The author of this Mishnah is of the opinion that when you have a matter of finance, matter of monetary loss or monetary claims, and the situation is, we'll say, shrouded in doubt, the solution is split, so that if the cow that died was worth $100, the customer will pay $50. From this Mishnah, it would appear then, Shamis Mina, and actually before we go into the Gemara text, let's glance at the side. How have we titled this section? The Nosei reads, Mona Libiotcha. A claimer issues the claim, you owe me a mona, let's say $100. The halo omar ein yodea, and the one being claimed from says, I don't know. Mi mishnosenu l'choiro mashma, from our mission at first glance it would appear the chayav l'shalem, where one is, and we mentioned this before, bori v'shema, where one is issuing a claim of certainty, and the one claimed from says, I don't know, you have to pay. Well, if that's the case, should we say that our Mishnah would then be a Tanaic source, a refutation to the opinion of Rav Nachman, who says that the one being claimed from remains exempt, he doesn't have to pay? So now, the Gemara. Shamis Mine, should we conclude, one could conclude from this Mishnah, Mono Li Biotcha, V'halo Omer Eini Yodea Chayav. One claims, you with certainty, you owe me a mona, you owe me $100, and the responder says, I don't know, he has to pay. Leimo Tehevei Tufta de Rav Nachman. Should we say that our Mishnah then is a refutation of Rav Nachman? And as you can see, we have a long question marking, and it continues giving you the background where Rav Nachman appears in a disagreement. That very case, one claims with certainty, you owe me $100, and the one responds, I don't know. Rav Unov, Rav Yuda, Amri Chayov. These two Amoraim say, well, similar to what our Mishnah would have conveyed, that yes, he has to pay. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Potter. You'll notice with our markings, we try to be precise, and there's a dashed underline highlighting Rav Nachman and the word potter. That's essentially the thrust of the Gemara. That does our Mishnah then represent a refutation to the position of Rav Nachman? In a case of one issuing a claim of bori, you definitely owe me $100, and the other claims, I don't know, Rav Nachman ruled the one who says I don't know doesn't have to pay. And the basis for that, by the way, is if you look in Rashi gives you the Aramaic explanation, Uki Mamono Becheskas Mareva Lo Tafkia Misfeka. There's a concept known as status, chazoka, and maintenance of status. The money, the possession of the money, the state of the money is currently in the possession of he from whom the payment is being claimed. So it's currently in the possession of the one who is saying Eini Yodea, I don't know. The being that there is an element of doubt here, he's saying, I don't know if I owe you the money or not. Rav Nachman's approach is, do not change the status quo. The status quo is that the money is currently in his possession, and the possession of the one who's saying, I don't know. Leave it there. And don't undo the possession. The hafkoas mamon is undoing the possession of the money, transferring the money to someone else. So, does our Mishnah then represent a refutation of Rav Nachman? The Gemara responds, Kid Omer Rav Nachman. Kegain Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beinehem. The Mishnah that rules Chayav is because the person who is saying Eini Yodea is in a position, in a position where he should have sworn but was unable to swear because of his claim of Eini Yodea. And since he should have sworn and was unable to because of this technicality, he has to pay. Rashi says, Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beinehem, Shinishayev Loi Shvua B'Tanosoi. This person who was saying, I don't know, he had become obligated to swear. We don't know, by the way, at this juncture, any of the circumstances. That's what the Gemara will deal with as we go on to Daf Tzadi Ches. But in the meantime, we're giving you the framework. And that is that this person that the Mishnah rules has to pay, the one who in fact said, I don't know, the Mishnah ruled he has to pay because that individual had become obligated to swear. And as Rashi says, V'eino yocholi shavado, eino yodea komar, he can't swear because an oath cannot be taken when the person taking it is saying, I don't know. I'm sure that this is quite vague and abstract at this moment in time. This hopefully will become much clearer as we go on in the Gemara. But we have to explain that in general, if things are as they appear on the surface, one saying, you definitely owe me 100, and the other fellow responds, I don't know, Rav Nachman will say, you don't have to pay, because of the, as Rashi explained, Uki Mamone Becheskes Mareva Lo Tafkil Misveka. The Mishnah that says, one is issuing a claim of certainty, and the other fellow is responding, I don't know, there's more to it than was revealed in the Mishnah. And what's that? Esek Shvua Beinehem. So the Gemara says, Hechidomi Esek Shvua. What are the circumstances of Esek Shvua? What do you mean by that? Answer, Kidarava. As Rava teaches, we continue at the top of Daf Tzadi Ches. The Omar Rava. Rava gives a framework, and the Gemara then will apply, a concrete examples based on the Mishnah, filling in the framework that Rava provides. So first, the framework. Rava tells us, "Mono li biyadcha, v'lo omer ein l'cha biyad elo chamishim." One claims you owe me 100. The responder says, I don't owe you 100. I only owe you 50. Vashareini yodea. And the other 50 I don't know about. Many of you are probably familiar with the concept of moida b'miktzas chayev b'shvua. That concept, first we'll translate, one who partially confesses or issues a confession that's only partial, he has to swear. Once again, that's a very, very general statement, and in fact, it's somewhat incomplete. From the Torah's perspective, if a person is claimed to have borrowed money, a lender says, you owe me $100 that I loaned you, and it's, the debt is due. The borrower says, I don't owe you $100, I only owe you $50. That's called moida b'miktzas. The other 50, I don't owe you. I don't know, either I paid them to you already, or I never borrowed $100, I owe you only 50. That's called moida b'miktzas, partial confession. And we know from the Torah, from a pasuk in the Torah, where it says, ki hu zeh, that generates an oath. The issue of moida b'miktzas, you will see later, surfaces also in the realm of shomrim, of baileys that are claimed from and they say that they only owe part, but we'll leave that aside for now so as not to confuse, overload ourselves with information. What happens in a case where a person doesn't speak with such certainty, like we just said, the responder says, I don't owe you 100, I owe you only 50, and the other 50 I do not owe you. But let us say he says, I owe you 50, and the other 50 I don't know about that. In a case like that, he cannot swear. Swearing is on the heels of a claim, of a response that is out of certainty, not where there is doubt in your statement. Now, what happens? So Rava goes on to say, on the third line from the top, Mitoich she'eino yocholi shava mishalem. Since he can't swear, in theory he should have sworn to gain exemption, to, let's say, to back up his claim of owing 50. In a case of standard motive, it makes us, he would have, his response was, I don't owe you 100, I owe you only 50 and not another 50. The Torah would say, okay, you want to pay only 50, swear to that effect. But in our case, where that the other 50 is shrouded in doubt, Rava tells us, since he cannot swear, he has to pay. So now, with that framework in mind, how shall we apply that to the Mishnah? We have an owner who loaned out and rented, and we have a customer who borrowed and rented. I say and rented and slash rented. How shall we learn the Mishnah with Rava's teaching? Notice, by the way, that we have a marking scheme. A Roman numeral number 1 appears with a long marking, and a Roman numeral number 2 appears halfway down the omit, also with a long marking. The long marking indicates that you have to go through all of these lines in order for us to develop the point being made. On the side, in the margin, we have an osei slash mivne heading. The diamond highlights the expression mishkachas law. It means it comes out, you will understand, you will find the case of the Mishnah through Rava's understanding. Shnei drachim lahamid ha-Mishnah be'esik shvuah. Two approaches to set up the Mishnah with the esik shvuah explanation. Kedei shelo tehevei tufta l'Rav Nachman. All of this is part of our effort to prevent the Mishnah from being a refutation to Rav Nachman. Whereas Rav Nachman said, in the case of Monoli Biodcha, Valo Merer, and the other one says, Eini Yodea, Rav Nachman says he is exempt, and yet in our Mishnah, we saw the fellow saying, Eini Yodea has to pay. Why? So we said, Esek Shvuah. Now the Gemara. Mishkachas lo resha b'shnayim v'seifa b'sholosh. The resha will be understood, the first part of the Mishnah will be understood when you have two cows in the picture, and the latter part of the Mishnah will be understood when you have three cows in the Mishnah. I recommend, as usual, give the bird's eye view of our marked Gemaras. You notice we have a double underline highlighting Reisha B'Shnayim, and then a few lines later you see Seifa B'Sholosh. The same marking scheme will appear under Roman numeral number 2, where Reisha, there the numbers are upped one, increased by one, so the resha in Roman number 2 involves three cows, and the seifa under Roman numeral number 2 involves four cows. In addition to that, do pay attention to the markings. We have a dashed underline which highlights the speakers. We have to see what is the owner claiming, and then we have to see what the customer is responding in each section, in the Reisha section, and in the Seifa section. So I hope you see all of this before we get into the text, before we get into the action. So now the Gemara. Reisha Bishnayim. The Omar Leh, the owner says, Shtei Poros Mosarti Loch, I gave to you two cows. Palge de yoima b'sheila, upalge de yoima b'schirus. Part of the day I loaned them to you, and part of the day I rented them to you. Inami. Now, that, by the way, corresponds to what we saw in the Mishnah under example number one, where half a day this and half a day that. Inami, this corresponds to the second example in the Mishnah. Inami chad yoimo b'sheva, the two cows. One day I loaned you the two cows, and v'chad yoimo b'schirus, and the other day I rented to you the two cows. Umesu travayu b'idon shelon, the owner is saying the two cows died during the time of borrowing. A borrower is obligated to compensate for ones, even for something like death of the animal. The Omar Le Shoyel, and the customer responds concerning the two cows. He says, "Chada in beidon sheila mesa." One cow, yes, I owe you that. It died during the time of borrowing. Veidach, the other cow, lo yodana. I don't know. E beidon sheela mesa, ve beidon schirus mesa. You see, the eini yodea lo yodana means like eini yodea, where he says I don't know. The other cow, I don't know whether I owe it to you or not. I don't know if it died during the borrowing period, in which case I would owe you. I don't know if maybe it died during the renting period, in which case I don't owe you. Well, I hope everyone agrees that we see this guy, this customer, is moide b'miksas. He is confessing partially that I do owe you part. He said, one, I do owe you. The other, I don't know. Demitoch sheinu yochol lishova, since he can't swear, mishalem, he has to pay. Then what we have just seen is an elaboration of what our Mishnah was speaking about, why the customer has to pay. Rav Nachman was not addressing this case in Rav Nachman's personal statement of Mona li biotcha ve'halo omer eini yodea, where Rav Nachman ruled poter. That guy who was saying eini yodea wasn't confessing partial anything. He simply said, regarding the claim against him, he says, I don't know. We continue with the Asik Shvua analysis of our Mishnah. V'seifa b'shloisha b'sholosh. The seifa concerns three poros, three cows. The Omar Le, the owner says, Gimel porois nosati loch. I provided you with three cows. Shnayim b'sheila v'achas b'schirus. Two I loaned to you, and one I rented to you. Umesu hani tardi d'sheilon. The two cows that died were the two that I had loaned you, and you're obligated as a borrower concerning those cows to pay me, to compensate. The Omar Le Shoyel, and the customer responds in chada d'sheilon mesa. It's true that two of the three cows died. One of those two was the borrowed animal. Idoch, the other one, lo yodano. I don't know. E de shelo mesa u de kaima de schirusi. The other animal was the borrowed animal, and the living animal is the rented animal. Now, if that be the case, so I would owe you for the second cow as well. However, maybe it was the rented animal that died, and the surviving animal is the borrowed cow. So here again you have a modeh b'miktzas, he's partial admission. He's saying, one I definitely owe you, the other one I don't know about. And since he cannot swear because of his eini yodea, his doubt, he has to pay. The reason for upgrading the seifa into three cows is because in the original Mishnah, the language was... The Mishnah presented, in translating the Mishnah, there were certainly two cows. There were initially two cows. You won't be able to develop a case of Esek Shvua, namely partial confession, where I definitely owe you, plus the continued I don't know element, unless you have three cows to begin with, as we explained in the Gemara. We continue now with, another opinion, that of Rami Bar Chama, who says, Ula Rami Bar Chama Diomar. Rami Bar Chama says, Arba Shomrim, the Arba Shomrim are the four different kinds of, we call Baileys, that we've seen in the past quite extensively. You have the Shomer Chinam, the unpaid Bailey, Shomer Socher, the paid Shomer, the paid guard, the Socher, the renter, and the Shoyel, the borrower. Rami Bar Chama, and by the way, the Torah mentions that if these Shomerim, let us say, issue a claim whereby they are claiming exemption, the Shomer would have to swear. There isn't such a thing as automatic exemption. There are claims whereby a Shomer gains exemption, but he has to swear to that effect. Rami Bar Chama tells us, and this is a point of controversy, it's a point of disagreement, but Rami Bar Chama's opinion is that the Shomer, in order to become obligated to swear, has to be modeh b'miktzas. Similar to what we described before regarding loans that a borrower of money, a borrower who issues a partial claim, has to swear, he confesses part and denies part, that generates a shvua. Rami Bar Chama says that approach is applicable to Shomrim. There's more background to get involved with. What's the underlying basis of his opinion? But we're not going to get into that now. Rashi touches on it. For our purposes, we want to focus on procedure. In our Mishnah, of course, we're dealing with examples of Shomrim. We've got the owner of the animal confronting a guy who's is either in the shoel capacity and or socher capacity. In order for there to be an obligation, as far as Rami Bar Chama is concerned, in order for us to speak about Esek Shvua, that there developed the need for a Shvua, but it can't be taken because of Eini Yodea. You'll see now how we have to upgrade the numbers, or I'll say increase the numbers of cows. Now we go into the Gemara. Mishkachas la. Well, let me read again. L'Rami Bar Chama Diomar Dalid Shomrim Tzrichin Kfiro B'Miktzas V'Ido B'Miktzas. According to Rami Bar Chama, in order for a Shvua to be generated, And only later I would say, because there's the claim of Eini Yodea, we will say, well, he can't swear and therefore he has to pay, but we have to have a basis of modeh b'miktzas. Mishkachas la reisha begimel v'seifa b'dalet. The beginning of the Mishnah, the first two cases of the Mishnah, you'll need to have three cows, and the third case of the Mishnah, the seifa, you'll have to have four cows. Major point must be said at the outset. According to Rami Bar Chama, it's not enough that you have partial confession. There has to be an expressed denial, partial denial as well. As a result of that, you're going to see that we have to increase the number of cows in order to develop, to fill in that framework of partial confession, partial denial, and a statement of Eini Yodea, where I don't know. Now, let's go through the Romi Bar Chamo approach. Mishkachas Lo, Reisho B'Shloisha V'Seifa B'Dalid, Reisho B'Gimel, the first part of the Mishnah will have to have three cows. The Omale, the owner, says, Shloish Poros Nosati Loch, I presented to you three cows. Palgei the Yoyma B'Shelo, Palgei the Yoyma B'Shirus. Part of the day was as a loan, and part of the day was as a rental. That's as far as scenario number one in the Mishnah. Then Inami, scenario number two of the Mishnah, Chad Yoyma B'Shelo, the three cows were given to you one day as a loan, and V'Chad Yoyma B'Shirus, and the other day, the three cows, as a rental. Umesu shlosha shloshtan kulhu beidon sheila. And all three cows, the owner says, died during the borrowing period, and therefore you owe me for three cows. The amalei shoyel, the customer says, chada, as far as your claim of three cows, lo hayu devara meila, one of them never happened. V'chada in be'idon she'elo mesa. So you have partial denial, lo hoyu dvorim, that never happened, I never got a third cow. One of the three that you're claiming, I confess, it died during the borrowing period. V'idoch lo yodana, I be'idon she'elo mesa, v'i be'idon schirus mesa. The third cow that you're claiming, I don't know whether it died during the borrowing period, and I would have to pay you, or it died maybe during the rental period, and I would not have to pay you. So, can we impose an oath on this guy? Can he be made to swear? Nope. The mitol she'eno yochol lishova, since he can't swear, because part of his claim is lo yodana, I don't know, mishalem, he has to pay. And he'll have to pay for all the cows that that are being claimed from him. Seifa b'dalit, the seifa of the Mishnah, where once again in the initial reading of the Mishnah we saw two cows, but in order to develop the Rami Bar Chamo approach and understanding with Esek Shvua, we're going to have four cows. The Omer Le Arba Poros Nosati Loch. The owner says, and I should emphasize again, based just on in terms of the Mishnah, there were in the third case two cows, and it was definitive that one was a rental and one was a borrowed cow. So now let's go into the Seifa case as far as Rami Bar Chamo is concerned. We says Seifa b'dalet, Yomalei, the owner says, Dalet poros nosati loch, gimel b'sheilo, chada b'schirus. I provided you with four cows. Three were loaned and one was rented. Umesu hanok gimel d'sheilo. And the three cows that died were all the borrowed ones. So you owe me for three cows. The Omar Le Shoyel. The customer responds, Chado lo hoyu dvara meolam. One never happened. There wasn't a fourth cow. I never received it. So there you have the partial denial. The chado in the she'ela mesa. And the other cow, yes, I confess, it was a borrowed cow that died. The idoch, the other one, In other words, you're claiming from me three cows. That other one, lo yodana e deschirus mesu dekaimu deshela. I don't know if that was the rental one that died and the surviving one is the borrowed animal, and I wouldn't owe you. Or it was the borrowed animal that died and the surviving one is the rental. And in that case, I would owe you. Since he cannot swear because of the Eini Yodea element in his claim, since he cannot swear, mishalem, he must pay. So just to review the main point of this, we'll call this extended or long discussion, was all for the purpose of defending Rav Nachman against the possibility of our Mishnah being a refutation to his opinion. Rav Nachman is able to maintain his position of exemption where monoli biotcho valo mereini odea, the one who says I don't know would be exempt. In a scene like that, there's no issue of shvua that arises. You don't have any mode b'miktas. But in a situation where you have the claim of Eini Yodea as part of a mode b'miktas, there, even Rav Nachman will concede, mitoch sheino yochol lishova mishalem. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.